Thanks for coming here today and taking time off in this beautiful warm weather. I just want to thank you for showing up, and I want you to open up your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, that's where we're going to be launching from this, in fact, launching this whole new series from. We're going to really talk about connecting our county to Christ during this month of August. We're going to focus on our mission and our vision and a new strategic initiative to really bring you up to speed with that, what God's been kind of stirring in our hearts. And so what we wanted to do is just kind of unpack that today. And just for your to remind you, take a look at the front of your program real quickly, and it'll tell you what our vision is. Our vision is to become a center of spiritual discovery, development, and demonstration to help people know, grow, and show Jesus to a world that desperately needs Him. That's our focus, and it comes from that word discover, comes from the Greek word heurisko, which we get the English word eureka. And it's the word that's used in the Bible that's commonly translated find. Like when Jesus says, ask and you receive, seek and you will find. That your word is heurisko. Knock and the door will be open. God wants everyone to discover the saving power of His Son, the empowering power of His Spirit, the Father's love. This is what God's deepest desire is. And that's our mission. And we're going to talk about a strategic step that we believe God wants us to take together. So I want you to open up to John 15. It's page 764 in the Bibles in front of you. And these are Jesus' parting words to His closest friends and His followers. And He tells these guys in this very intimate discussion. And it's the very same conversation that He washed their feet. The very same meal and during this very same conversation, He talked about the importance of serving. And it's in this conversation He says this. He says, you did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Now I want you to recite that together with me. Would you do that? Because we're gonna get this verse down in these next four Sundays. Are you ready? You did not choose Me, but I chose and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now Jesus says, I chose you, and that ought to comfort us. Doesn't it comfort you to know that God pursued you? That God chose you, that your coming here today and your coming to Christ, as I did as a near 16-year-old, was the result of His activity. The fact that He was choosing me. That ought to comfort you. But secondly, Jesus says, I chose you, and He's got that. It's the plural you. And that's challenging. Challenging to think that God chose us as a team with a task. Because working together with others is hard work. How many of you know that, right? Anybody who's married, has family, knows that. It's hard work. Even at the closest level, right? He says, you're a team with a task. And what's the task of this team? What's the mission that Jesus has chosen and appointed us for? He says, it's this. It's to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Now, the original meaning of that word go in the Greek, it means go. Okay? It means proceed. It means move. It means leave under. That's the literal word. To go under Jesus' authority, His leadership, under His values and principles and priorities and purposes. And Jesus is saying this, and this is the first fill-in point. Jesus says that if we're His followers, then we're to be a team on the move with a mission. We're a team on the move with a mission. He's saying that if you're going to be My follower, number one, you can't do it solo. Number two, you can't be static and stuck and inert. If you're going to follow me, you're going to be part of a team on the move with a mission. And that mission is to bear fruit that will last. And that metaphor, to bear fruit, what that means, it means to connect people to Christ in a life-changing way. To bear spiritual offspring. That's what he's talking about. That's what that metaphor is. Just like a healthy plant will give off fruit, will produce offspring, fruit that has seeds of its succession. Every commentary that I read said that this metaphor, to go and to bear fruit, means to succeed in making converts. And I think connecting people to Christ in a life-changing way, that really summarizes what Jesus means here very, very clearly. And it was what Paul talks about when he writes in Colossians. He says, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit. Do you see that? The good news is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. Just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understand the truth about God's wonderful grace. Wow. God's wonderful grace. Isn't that awesome? Folks, that's why our goal. That's why our goal is to connect our county to Christ. It's because Jesus says so. And that's why our mission is to show God's love and to share God's truth in relevant, appealing, and understandable ways. Because grace, God's grace, that undeserved favor, the good that He gives that we don't deserve, God's grace is powerful and it's wonderful. It's life-changing when it's clearly understood and acted on. I mean, aren't you glad for grace? I am. I'm glad that I don't get justice. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy's not getting the bad you deserve. But grace, grace is getting the good you don't deserve. I thank God for grace. And I believe it's amazing and life-changing. And Jesus has made that our mission. To go out and to get out this good news. The gospel. And that's what our strategy, that's what our vision and our plans to take our Sunday services to the Eisenhower Performing Arts Center is all about. Why relocate our services outside of this building? That's a good question, right? I mean, lots of us love these wonderful churchy buildings, but I'm gonna do something real quick. Steve, come on up here. Steve and I were talking about it. I'm going to interview Steve and Lynn in just a little while later about their feelings about the pack and what they sense. Come on up here and take a seat. How many of you guys know Steve Ingles? Okay, let me tell you just something a little bit about Steve. Steve was far from God when I first met him. He was not a Christ follower. And you've been coming about, 4 years. Steve committed his life to Christ through our church. In our ministry, and Steve was a de-churched guy. You hadn't been in a long, long time, many years, right? Okay, so that's Steve's story. Now, Steve, I want to ask you specifically about our building, because some of you can't believe that our building is a turnoff to people. But Steve, I'm going to ask Steve. Steve, what did tell me about when you first started coming here and...
Okay.
With specific reference to the building.
The building itself. My wife is Sherry Stowers, which is Rick and Teresa Stowers' daughter.
A little tired.
And they've been coming here for some years. And I drove by the church, and she says, oh, that's where we go. And I'm like, oh, that's very nice. That's where you go. And 3 to 4 to 5 months every Sunday, she said, let's go to church. Let's go to church. Let's go to church. And I said, in my head, I said, no. But to her, I said something else like, well, I'm kind of tired, or we can go grocery shopping. It's Sunday. But eventually, one day, I did walk through the doors, and it was scary. I thought I was going to be judged. It's an 1800 white chapel, steeple, building. I had no clue what to expect. I was baptized. I made my first communion. But I was never churched. And I know the rest of my family feels the same way that I felt. And it took me a couple services to get to know people and greet people. And it took me 2 years to realize that the building wasn't the church. The people that surround me and sit next to me and go to the small groups with me are the church. Now, it took me 2 years to realize that.
Can you see what happens? This is what we found out. We've interviewed our people from our one-on-one class, our new members class, and they tell us, man, we love you. And some of them say, in spite of your building. Yeah. And you see, our building says traditional church, doesn't it? It says, for many people, church as usual. And for them, church as usual has been a place that's been irrelevant, boring. Worse yet, for some people, it's been a source of hurt or wounds or neglect. And the reality is this. And here's where you can either have the light go on or you can take up an offense. You see, our mission is to connect people to Jesus Christ. And when our church architecture becomes a barrier to people discovering the architect of the church, Jesus Christ, don't you think we should do something about the barrier? Paul says, I put no obstacle in any person's way. He sought to remove any kind of non-essential obstacle that he could. And Steve, you bring up a very good point, don't you? I want you to do really something very, very quick, okay? Stand up. Put your hand on the wall or on the pew. Something tangible here, okay? You ready? Put your hand on it. And I want you to say after me, this is not my church.
This is not my church.
Again, this is not my church. Now I want you to grab somebody next to you, put your arm around and grab their hand. Okay, are you ready? Here's what I want you to say. These are my church.
These are my church.
That's right. Church is a people, not a steeple. And people are the greatest gift that we can ever have in our lives. They're the greatest investment we can ever make in lives. And they're the reason that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross. And that's why our mission is to connect everyone we can to Him. Why go? Why go? Because Jesus' command is clear. I chose you and I appointed you to go and to bear fruit that will last. In this book, there are four gospel stories, memoirs of Jesus' life. And at the end of every one of these stories of Jesus' life, Jesus gives a command to go and to share His truth with other people. Look inside your program. I just want to cover this very quickly. Inside your program right here. Check this on the outline. As I read it, you underline it or circle it. Ready? Matthew's gospel. He says, go to the people of all nations and make them my disciples. Second one, Mark. Mark says, go into all the world and preach the good news. That's share God's truth. So there goes, go and share. Luke's gospel, he said, it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that a change of hearts and lives and forgiveness of sins would be preached in His name to all nations, starting Jerusalem, starting in your own backyard. And he says, you are witnesses. And what does a witness do? A witness testifies of the truth, right? Lastly, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. Well, we know what he was sent to do, right? To seek and to save lost people and to serve, not to be served. And then the story of the church, the book of Acts, begins with this command of Christ. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Listen, why do we need to go? Why do we need to prioritize sharing God's truth with people at any and all cost? Because Jesus' command is clear, isn't it? It's clear. And our mission begins in our own backyard, starting in Jerusalem. What's our Jerusalem? Guess what, man? It's our county. It's where we live. It's our neighborhoods. And that's why we say our vision, our mission is, our goal, I should say, is to connect our county to Christ. And by that, we're not going to stick hard and fast. Hey, nobody in Oakland County gets it. No, that's not the point. It's just that most of us live in Macomb County. So we just say, hey, that's our goal, to connect our county to Christ. Now, I know that the news of our plans, our preparation to move our Sunday services to the Eisenhower Performing Arts Center or the ICPAC, you know, it's excited a lot of you. It's left some of you with questions. It's created resistance in a few of you. I understand. Let's listen to Dr. Scott McLeod, and he's going to share about his response to this strategy to go and bear fruit that will last. Dr. Scott, what was your first impression when you heard about this idea that we wanted to relocate Sunday celebrations to the Eisenhower Performing Arts Center?
Well, I have to say I was probably a little ambivalent. Apprehensive, definitely, to say the least. You know, coming from a church who initially started meeting in a high school setting, you know, I remember feeling that, gosh, if we could just get out of that setting and into a building, that it would be better. You know, initially my thoughts were, why would we want to go back to that? Why would we want to go backwards? Why would we want to, you know, do something that, you know, we've already successfully gotten out of? And so I was a little concerned. Is this the right direction to go in?
What was your experience at the Eisenhower Performing Arts Center?
Well, I can tell you right away, immediately, as we were driving up, I was impressed. I thought this was just a beautiful place, and I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that kind of quality. Then when we walked in the front entryway or the front doors and all the directional signs that were placed, you know, our kids were to go this way, the nursery, the children's church, it was really impressive. I was impressed. I thought, I think I'm getting this. I think I get what's going on. And that's before I even went into the main auditorium. Once we walked in there, I saw it and I got it. And I understood the concept of, you know, what we're trying to do here. What we're trying to do when it comes to bringing people to a comfortable setting where they can come in and they can feel welcome and they can feel comfortable and not threatened. This was the location, or this was the kind of setting that really said that.
What potential do you think that hosting Sunday services at the ICPAC has that don't exist at either of our present facilities?
I remember when we used to meet in the high school setting, what we had there was something totally different. We had a place that wasn't a church building. It was a high school auditorium. When we got together on Sunday morning, that was our time to get together on Sunday morning and worship. But that wasn't what church was. Church was actually getting together outside of that setting. It was getting together in each other's homes. We would get together in each other's homes and we'd have, you know, dinners, or we'd have potlucks, or we'd have prayer groups or small groups. That was church. We'd get together and do picnics. We'd get together and just do outside events. And that's, to me at that time, that's what church was. When we got out of that setting and we got into a building, that slowly eroded. The church became the building. We started doing those extracurricular events in that church building. We started losing that small home group sense. We started losing that community mindedness. And I think that's kind of where we're left right now, where if we can get out of the building and have that sense again, where church is actually taking place in our community, where church is actually taking place in each other's homes, where church is actually taking place by serving one another. And when we get together on Sunday, it doesn't matter where we do it, whether it's in a community center, whether it's in a performing arts center. That's where we can get together on Sunday mornings to worship. But the church can actually take place in every other sense outside of that.
As a child, you were displaced from your church building involuntarily. Tell us a little about that experience and how that kind of changed your perspective on what church really is and what it can be.
Yeah, when I was a child, when I was young, we went to a church, a real small kind of community church. And what I remember about that church is it was small, it was tight-knit, and we get together every Sunday morning and sometimes on Wednesdays, and we'd meet together. You know, I remember filing in the pews and picking up the hymnals and listening to the pastor preach, having Sunday school. And I also remember, too, by being so close-knit, that the people of the church, they did get to know each other, but we really only saw each other on Sunday morning and again on the occasional Wednesday. The other thing that I noticed, too, that I can remember is when new people came in, it was uncomfortable for them because they didn't know anybody. And the people that were in the church were, it seemed, uncomfortable by new people coming in. So the new people never really tended to stay or stick around. But one day I remember getting the news or, you know, hearing from through our parents that the church building burned down. And again, the alarm was, what are we going to do on Sunday? How are we going to get together as a church? So what that church did is they found a location down in downtown Romeo, which I believe was an old bank building that wasn't being utilized anymore. So we started meeting in this old bank building. And you know what? We did it. We did it because we had no choice. We got together and we met in the different rooms. We met, you know, upstairs. We met downstairs. We met in small rooms that felt nothing like a church. But something happened that I remember, and that was that the church started doing something different. They started reaching out. First of all, people that came to that environment because, you know, it may have been closer for them or it may have been less threatening for them. The people that came to that church, they didn't feel like outsiders, because we were all outsiders. That was not our home base or our building. So everybody was feeling pretty much like an outsider. So we all reached out together. New people that came felt comfortable. The people that had been coming to church for a long time felt comfortable. And our church started to reach out into the community. Our church started to grow in a way that they've never grown before. Not just by numbers, but by actions. Once that building was rebuilt, that church finally got the idea. It was as if God said, I need you to get out of the building. Get out of that building. That building happened to burn down.
What in particular excites you about the possibility of hosting services at that site?
The most obvious is we're stuck in a small venue. We're stuck on a small stage. And being, and my experience that we were seeing by being over at the Performing Arts Center is that that is just a better place to do what we do. It has a great venue, a great opportunity to do those dramas better, to have a better sound system. The building we're in is great, but it's, you know, built in the 1800s. And I think probably the most important thing and the most important benefit and the thing that excites me the most is that it's a place where people who may be uncomfortable coming to a church, especially maybe a church that was built in the 1800s, they can come to a performing arts center, an auditorium that they may have been to already, they may have seen a play or they may have seen a concert, they can feel comfortable coming into and not feel threatened as to, you know, what might happen once they enter the doors. And then when they get in, they can see, you know, what a good job that we do and really hear the message that we're trying to get out, the message of Christ.
Dr. Scott, what advice would you have for those who are skeptical or reluctant to consider this idea?
Trust the church leadership. You know, the leadership of this church is trusting in the direction that God is guiding them. I know that's what I'm doing. At first, I was uncomfortable with the idea. I was uncomfortable with it, but I didn't question it. And I knew that, you know, this was something that they felt strong in, so this is what we're going to do. And then as we went there and as we saw the opportunity, obviously, I saw the big picture and I got excited and turned on to it. And I'm really excited about the opportunities that are in front of us. But the best advice I can give is to just trust our leadership. Trust where God is guiding and pointing this church through our leadership. And whether we see that vision or not at this point in time, understand that they are following God's call in this and to follow where they're taking this church.
Okay. I wanted to also interview Lynn Toussaint and Steve Ingalls live. Some of those very same questions, just to kind of help you get the perspective of other people who are parked in the pews just like you. Lynn, I'll start off with you. When you first heard about the strategy going to the PAC, what did you think about that?
Well, like Steve, I like the traditional church, and so there was a little discomfort on my part. When I came to the Lord, I needed that. I needed something of the traditional, that hardcore, where I could set my teeth into. But in the same token, I also understand that the building is not the church. But I did feel a little uncomfortable at first.
Good. How about you, Steve? How did you feel when you first heard about our strategy to go to the Eisenhower Performing Arts Center or the Ike Bank?
I was very excited, and I was more excited not for myself, for my loved ones around me, that I know I will have a better opportunity to reach out to bring into, you know, to walk with the Lord, because it's not in this building.
Okay. And we talked about that. How this building has been, was a barrier to you. And,
it's a barrier to the rest of my family, PK.
Okay. You're just being honest with us,
I'm being
right?
honest, yeah.
Okay. That's really important.
Most of my family's been to Eisenhower for one time or another. And you got to really look at the numbers. There's been tens of thousands of people that have walked through those doors at one time or another that I'm guaranteeing you will be willing to walk through those doors again, whether it's to attend church or not. But I was glad to go back in the building and look around and see things and then attend service.
And that's one of our reasons for employing this strategy. You know, people, lots of people, 31% of our population have never been churched in their lives. The highest percentage out ever. 31% of Americans have never been churched, never been in at all on a regular basis. Those people, while they're not used to coming to church buildings, they are used to coming to schools, malls, industrial parks. Those are common gathering places for them, and it removes a big barrier. Now, here's my second question. You attended Mother's Day or Father's Day. I'm not sure which or both. When you got there, kind of like Dr. Scott, did things kind of crystallize for you? Did it change your perspective at all? How about you, Lynn?
I think I saw a new vision. I attended both Mother's Day and Father's Day, and what I had to do is when I came back from both of them, especially the last time coming back from Father's Day, I had to sit down and ask myself, who's bigger, the box I'm in, the comfort I'm in, the comfortability of it, or is my God bigger? And, of course, I didn't have to think too long on that. The answer, of course, was my God's bigger. And then I realized it's not the venue, it's not the comfort I'm sitting here, because I'm close to this church as far as a drive. I can talk to people both and after the service. And I thought, this is a good thing. And now I'm going to have to relocate, maybe drive a few extra miles. And then I started thinking, and then the Lord quickened me, you know, is it a little discomfort that I'm feeling? Did I not feel a lot of discomfort for you? And all these processes started going through my mind. And then I realized that little box that I have, that comfort of sitting here in this little church, which is a nice church, and I don't have a problem with that. But I see much more as far as the Performing Arts Center, because what are we all about? We're going out, we're about preaching the word, we're about bringing new people into the kingdom of God. And I share the vision of Pastor Kevin, Pastor Jeff now. I always did share it, but I think in a greater way now, we can bring more people in that. It's a different venue. People like Steve will feel more comfortable coming into a non-church environment or situation. I can handle either one, and the Lord's blessed me maybe with that. But I see the importance of bringing, because there's going to be people coming in that area there that maybe have never attended a church before. And I know that's your passion, and that's what both of you, Jeff and you, I can see that. Because when Christ spoke in the synagogues, when he was speaking, when they didn't run him out of there because of his radical views at that time, where did Christ meet people? He met them on the roads. He met them along the river rivers. He met them anywhere. He went out and met them in the marketplace. So he took the message to them. He didn't wait for them to come to the church here. And I think a lot of times I can see that, is that if we just wait here for people to walk through that back door, and that's always something I prayed for, Lord, just open up that back door and let people come in. But you have to think, this is not going to always happen to that percentage. We have to go outside those doors, and we have to bring people into the kingdom by sharing what God has given us. God told me a long time ago, just tell my story. And that story, you don't have to know all the scripture verses. You don't even have to know everything in the Bible. But as long as you tell the story of what Christ has done for you, maybe it's that situation he's brought you out of, maybe that's salvation, you tell them that story, and people will come to know him in a greater way than if you sit there and try to pontificate or tell people about every scripture verse that you know and what they mean. It's going to go right over their head.
And that's the second reason why we want to take this strategic step, and you can write this down, is that Jesus' example is compelling. You mentioned that, Lynn. Jesus' example is compelling.
There's nothing more compelling than to tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. I'm not one. I could stand up in front of somebody and talk for a long time. As you many know, I talk too long sometimes. But I do feel uncomfortable standing out in a marketplace or in a mall. But on a one-on-one, I meet somebody coming through the line. Somebody gives me an opening. Just tell them the story. Just talk about Jesus, and I guarantee you it's going to be better than what the situation you're in right now. They're going to hear something they've never heard before.
I like what John 1:1 says, and I picked the message out because it really illustrates it. We know that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but I like how the message says it. The message says the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. It's a different strategy than just opening our doors and hoping and praying for people to come. And I love what Philippians chapter 2 says. It says, in your lives, you must think and act like Jesus. Christ himself was like God in everything, but he didn't think that being equal with God was something to be used for his own benefit, but he gave up his place with God when he came here and became a servant.
If I could say one more thing. I think you asked me the second part of that question about the Performing Arts Center. I think it's going to give us a venue where we can do greater things.
Amen.
Much greater. This is like I say, we're limited in space here. But I think that we don't even know the things that God's going to show us we can do on a venue like that where we have a larger platform. We can do more things. Maybe it's programs or plays or whatever that is that we can touch those people. Well, I think the biggest thing is we need to think on this thought is that we need to be like when Mary and Joseph went in to find Jesus because about age of 12 or 13, they found him missing. And they searched for him. Where did they find him? They found him in a synagogue. And they asked him, why are you here, Jesus? And Jesus said this, and this is what we should be doing. I'm about my Father's business. And that's what we need to be. We need to be about my Father's business. Whether it's in here or the Performing Arts Center, we need to be out there on his business bringing people into his kingdom.
Steve, how did it open your eyes in any way? Or how did it open the eyes of your family members? Because they came to Mother's Day, Father's Day. How did it impact them?
That's pretty much all they've come to is Mother's and Father's Day.
Yeah, you've really not been able to get them to come to our church here,
no.
Our building.
Mother's Day. Mother's Day was awesome. Mother's Day. You know what I liked about Mother's Day is that I could. It was very emotional. Pastor Jeff did an awesome job, and I could cry. Nobody could see me. I like that a lot. Okay. that was one of the best. It was dark. I mean, then Father's Day was a little lighter, but it wasn't as much emotional for Father's Day.
And we are going to fix the lighting. We'll have more light, promise you.
Yeah, well, there's just some lighting on the steps.
We promise
now,
you. It'll be lit more.
Real quick, I kind of think that we're making the issue a new building. And I really don't see it that being the issue. If we could save people with you standing on a rock in a field, and I could spend eternity with my mother, my father, my brothers, my neighbors, my uncles, and my aunts, and my cousins, then I say burn the building. And I say hold mass in a field and you stand on a rock. If I could spend the rest of eternity with my family, my loved ones in heaven.
That gets me choked up, you know. Like you, I just was thanking God. I said, Father God, I said, thank you, Father God, that I can worship with my mother and my mother-in-law.
Yes.
You know, but Steve, your folks don't know Christ. I mean, can you, and some of you, it's the same way. The second point is this, or the point C is this. Why are we going to the pack? I'll tell you why. Why there? Because the need is great. The need is great. Listen, I don't want to kill you with statistics because it makes some of your eyes roll back. The AmericanDirtChurch.org. Here's the story. It's Christian Research. This guy's got no axe to grind. He says, in Michigan, not only 19.7% of Michiganders attend church on any given Sunday. A little less than 1 out of 5 of us. Now, I've done the numbers for you, and it's probably got the... Yeah, there you go. If you look at that, there are 833,000 Macomb County residents. I've put all the calculations and factored in there and on the high side to be generous. But even with the most generous calculations, only about 155,000 or 18% of our county are saved. What does that mean? That means right here, one county, one state, two-thirds of 1 million people are headed for hell. Think about that. The need is great. Why there? Why not the Ford Pack? Because Ford Pack is closer to where most of us live. You know why? Because there are some great outreach-oriented churches down by the Ford Pack. There's Rock Point, Kensington East, Grace. There's great churches down there that are positioned to reach lost people. Up here, two little ones. That's it. It's about the need, folks. It's not about our preference. It's about going where the need is. People are headed for hell. A lot of them in our county. Steve's family. And we want to fix that. Now, let me ask you this. What potential? We've talked about this. What kind of potential does the pack hold? I think you guys have gotten a clear understanding. But if there's anything that you'd like to add to that, potential of the pack that doesn't lie here. Yeah, go ahead. You tackle it, man.
Again, I said, I walked through 4 years of my life. I think it was four or three. I spent at Eisenhower High School. I spent a lot of time in the principal's office. That's how my parents... It was actually the vice principal office. The principal didn't deal with it. It was the vice principal office. And she still knows me to this day, Mrs. Baywall. I think she's still there. I don't know.
She's the principal now.
And she still remembers me. So anytime they can remember you after 10 or 15 years, after all those students, you know you had some type of impact. Okay. Well, now we can change that and have better impact. But I have friends that are older than I, and I have friends that are younger, and I have friends that are the same age. And we have that one common bond. We all attended Eisenhower. Now, this may not be for a lot of you guys, but tens of thousands of people through the history of that school have walked through those doors, have spent some of their most memorable moments, their senior proms, the dances, the award ceremonies, the plays, in that school. I mean, Jim Bono is a good friend of mine, and he went there 28 years ago. Okay, you know what? I can walk over to Jim's house today, and I can knock on his door and say, "Hey, Jim, and Char and his five kids, why don't you come to church to me Sunday?" You know what he's going to tell me? "Nah, I'm going to be cutting the grass." But I say, "Hey, man, when's the last time you've been to Eisenhower?" "Oh, gosh, it must have been 20-some years ago." "Well, hey, the new Performing Arts Center? We're holding a little sermon there on Sunday. It's kind of pretty cool. Why don't you bring the family and come? And I bet you I can get them." Okay? Now, that's the first step, is to get them in to hear the sermon. It took me 2 years to accept Jesus into my heart, to change my heart, to change my soul, and change my mind. And just because I attended church for the first 2 years meant nothing until I took the steps to change my heart, change my mind, and change my soul.
By accepting Christ, right?
By accepting Christ. Yeah. But just saying the words, you got to change. And that's what I did. But that's what I see the potential of Eisenhower is all those people that have been through there. All the parent-teacher conferences, they've walked through those doors. Mrs. Mershart, I know her very good. She's still in the... I know all the teachers. I just did some home improvement for the teachers. We can get them. We can save them.
Amen.
How many people have walked through these doors that we can go out and get?
Yeah.
It's a lot, substantial number.
Well, let me ask you both then, what's your advice? What's your advice to our fellow members of this Discover Church team? What's your advice to us?
I would say just, you know, let the Lord lead you because get out of your comfort zone. It's something that's we all feel comfortable, no matter if it's at a workplace or perhaps even attending church. Is get out of that comfort zone, because that's what Jesus did. And if we're to be like Jesus and conform to his image, then we have to get out of that little comfort zone, because certainly he didn't have a comfort zone, because he was here and there and everywhere and disliked by many people in many areas. But so we just get out of that comfort zone. And I think the number of people that's out in that Eisenhower is kind of a nemesis to me, because I was from Stevenson, my boy played football. And
so that's and, the Romeo guy.
But that's so I'm not too keen about going to Eisenhower in that area, but no, we won most of the time. But anyway, but the thing is, it's that there's a lot of ethnicity in that area, and that's important. There's a large Arabic community and so forth out there. And if we're to reach, we can't just keep it to just the Caucasian, or we need to open it up to everybody, the blacks, the whites, the reds, the yellows, the browns. This is what the church is about. It's just not about what we look like. It's about what everybody else looks like. And if we're going to have that ethnicity, we're going to have that blender, that pulling together, we're going to have a greater opportunity out in the Eisenhower area. And I think that's the passion that Jeff and Kevin have is because there's more people out there, different cultures out there, and this is what we have to. And once we get out there, then we are going to try to reach them. And that I'll leave that up to the pastors or how they do that, but through media and so forth. But I think that's the greatest thing that we out there, we can reach many people of many different races and different cultures. That's the exciting part.
Thanks. Oh, absolutely.
I don't think we're going to try to reach them. I think we're going to reach them. How many seats does that hold?
Almost 700.
Here's what I see. I see it in a short period of time, within 2 years, 3 years. I see 700 people. I see 2-3 services. I see the seats being filled. Now, do I see every one of those people being saved right then and there? No, it's going to take time. And it's not up just to the pastors. It's up to us. And these pastors, they have so much weight on their shoulders, and it's up to us to take the weight off their shoulders to do whatever we can. And it's not us to say, hey, PK, do you need some help? It's us to look and realize what help he needs and step up and do it. Amen. And not ask. But I see the future. I see it filled. I see my family there. And then, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years down the road, I'll see my family there. And that's the greatest thing that I could ever ask for, is to spend eternity with my friends, my family, my neighbors, and the people here. That's the future that I see.
To add to what Steve just said, too, is that in order to be in a larger venue like this, it gives all of us an opportunity to serve. Because here we may be limited somewhat in what capacity that we can serve, but we all can serve out there. And I think the pastors need our help. And I need to be doing more, too. I understand that. A lot of you people are younger, and there's a lot of things you can fill that maybe I've been through before. But it gives you an opportunity. It gives each and every one of us an opportunity to advance the kingdom. And that's what it's all about. So that's what we need to ask ourselves. Where can I help? And if you read in the book, in the Bible, it tells you not all are called to be pastors, not all are called to be teachers, not all are called to be elders, not all are be called this, that, is that from the simplest to the most, all the way up to the head of the church, we all have a place, and God loves each and every one of us. And each, if it's just from cleaning the floors to preaching the word, God honors each and every one of those duties, because their duties are done unto him. If you do any of those duties other than unto him, you're doing yourself a disservice, and more importantly, you're doing him a disservice.
Go ahead, Steve. I don't need to preach this.
No. When we had the Mother's Day and Father's Day at Eisenhower, did anybody else have a hard time coming back the following Sunday? Just a little bit. Anybody else? I did. I don't know if I was here or not. I'm going to say I was. But I had a really hard time walking back into this building. And I felt it. I felt. Now, the Holy Spirit, it isn't in this building. It surrounds us and it's in us. Now, when I was at Eisenhower, I don't know. I was greeting. Did I greet anybody for Mother's or Father's Day? Do you remember? No, I didn't. Does anybody remember? Walter remembers. I was extremely happy, extremely joyful. And it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit. What's that? I was helpful. I tried to be helpful. But I am so excited. I know Pastor Kevin's so excited. And we should all be excited. Because this change is the right one. And there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. If it saved one more person, would you do it?
What if that person was one of your loved ones?
Which is probably going to be.
Would you do it?
Your neighbors. Your co-workers.
Yeah.
I'm done.
We're done. Last point is this. Why now? Why in the middle of a recession? Because the season is ripe. The stakes are high. The season is ripe and the stakes are high. The church has been... You know when the last time... Just a question. When did church attendance peak as a percentage of population? Who can tell me what year? Who can guess? Steve knows. Close. 1965. Imagine that. You realize that the church, we've been in a spiritual recession for how many years?
Too many.
43 years. Folks, God wants a boom. Time is ripe. People are most ripe for Christ when they're under stress, in crisis, or in transition. And we got that season right now, don't we? And I think that's why God has appointed us to lay our lives on the line, to connect our county to Christ. Awesome, man. Here's what I want to do real quickly. All I really want to do is just talk about how you can respond. Because frankly, Jesus' command is clear. Go and bear fruit that will last. Connect people to Christ in a way that is life-changing. Connect our county to Christ. That's what our mission is. And His example is compelling. He left heaven. If He left all the comforts and perks and privileges of being the number one honcho beneath the Father in heaven, guess what? We can certainly leave our comfort zone. Thirdly, the need is great, folks. The need is great. And fourth, the time is right. The time is right. And because of that, this is why we believe that this strategic step is what God wants us to do. We've taken a lot of time and we've been... I apologize that we've not disclosed more. Listen, we didn't know until mid-April that we could even get into the pack. It's kind of like we looked around and we looked at different schools and venues, and it's like we had the place before we had the open door. We said, man, we think it's right here. And we shared with the elders and the directors. We said, we think God wants us to go here. And we looked into it. They didn't even have a person in place to set up the agreement, the lease agreement. And so we tried to get in for Christmas and Easter. We couldn't. We got in for Christmas at Mahalo, didn't we? It's because we couldn't get into Eisenhower, the Performing Arts Center. So we've been really reluctant to tell you, hey, we think God should be sending us there, because we wanted to be really careful. We didn't want people blabbing it around when they didn't even have a person hired to put a lease together. They just hired the guy. We just found out about 4 Wednesdays ago that we can, in fact, pursue a lease with them. I mean, it's that recent. We didn't know until April that we could even get in there. So we wanted to be really careful. Just like Nehemiah, if you read the book of Nehemiah, he had a vision of rebuilding the city. And because things were so up in the air and because there were enemies, he had to zip his lip. But now we're gonna out ourselves, and there are still some obstacles. So you're gonna have to be praying, God, if you want us in there, you've got to open that door. Just getting in there for Mother's Father's Day was like a total God thing. Not only that, I got asked right out of the blue to do their baccalaureate address. I did my first baccalaureate this June 4th, at the Eisenhower Performing Arts Center. And guess what? I knocked it out of the park. Got a lot of feedback. A lot of great feedback. And so we don't know. We would love to be in there right after Labor Day, because that's the ideal time to launch at a new venue at the start of a school year. But frankly, it would take a miracle to get in there, okay? Because I think we're a month or two off from even inking anything. And we want at least 6 weeks to get ready and to market it, okay? So we can promote it. So we'd love to be in there for the public by the first Sunday in October, but we have no idea. Big schools move slow, and Utica's a big school district. So a lot of it's going to be, all we can say is we think it's going to be God's timing. And we're saying, God, if you want us in there, open a door. If you don't, close it. Because we only want what God wants. What God wants is very clear in His Word, though, doesn't it? That we bear fruit that will last. That we connect a lot of other people to Jesus Christ in a life-changing way. Five things that you can do. 5 ways you can respond, and we're done. Okay, you ready? Number one, on the bottom of the second one. What should you do if you've got reservations, got questions? Number one, consult God first, not your feelings. God's word says we walk by faith, not by sight. We need to be led by God's voice of truth, not by our feelings. We should not be driven by what's comfortable or convenient for us, but by what's true and what God's priorities and purposes are. That's what it means to remain in Christ. Secondly, look in faith, not in fear or doubt. Look in faith. See the possibilities in faith. What can be if God's in this? This is a BHAG. It's a big, hairy, audacious goal. And it's so big, it's bound to fail without God's help, without your help. If God's not in it, and if you're not in it, we're going to burn out. Look in faith, not in doubt or fear. Thirdly, count the cost of failing to go. Count the cost of failing to go. If we fail to go, we're certainly not going to connect our county to Christ in any exponential way, are we? And we know that the country's headed for hell unless the church does something more effective. And we just don't want that. Point four, listen to your leaders, not their critics. The world is full of armchair critics who don't do squat. People critique these incredible athletes like Brett Favre when they can't throw a pass 30 yards to a man walking, let alone somebody running full tilt. It's easy to be an armchair quarterback, isn't it? And it's easy to be a critic. The Bible says that bitter roots poison many people. It's easy to get something in your craw and then spit out, barf it out on everybody else, right? Don't do that. You got questions? Bring them to us. Take them to God. You got concerns? Do the same. But listen to your leaders, not their critics. Listen, man, we're banking our jobs on this. It'd be easy to stay here, cushy job the rest of my life, but it wouldn't accomplish the plans and purposes of God. The stakes are really high for the pastors. Probably our jobs on the line. We're going to go for broke doing this. Okay? We want you to know that. There's a lot at stake. Lastly, help out and see what happens. Don't sit on the sidelines. Well, I'm just going to sit. I'm just going to wait and see. I'm going to sit on my hands here. I'm just going to see what happens. No way. Help out. Roll up your sleeves. Let's see what happens if we all put our hands to the plow, as Jesus says, as if we apply ourselves diligently to what clearly His Word says our priority ought to be and what our sense in God is that we should be doing. And let's see what happens. See if we can't, in God's power, connect our county to Christ. We've got a closing song. Come on up, guys. We'll collect your connect cards, your Discover chart cards at this time. Listen, we're going to be unpacking it this whole month, okay? We can only, you know, give you a little smidgen right now, but we're going to have Q&As after each service for the next two Sundays back there in the kitchen area. We're going to unpack it on Sunday mornings, so I hope you'll make it, and I hope you'll hear more clearly and explicitly what's going on. But let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for every one of us that have been connected to Your Son, Jesus, in a life-changing way. I thank You for choosing me and appointing me and drawing me to Jesus. That's the best decision I've ever made, God. I pray that if anyone is here that is not on Your team, that they would make that decision to get on Your team, to be part of that team on the move with His mission, Lord. And I pray for everyone that's here that claims to know Jesus as their leader in life but is not on board, is static, is going solo, is all about themselves rather than Your purposes, that You change our hearts, God. Help us to be about Your tasks, God. God, I pray for all the questions that we have. Pray and ask, Lord, that You would give us answers. Lord, that You would give us Your vision. That You'd help us to be led by Your word, not our feelings. That You'd help us to find our fit, God. But I'm praying more than anything that You'd use each and every one of us here today to change this world and to make it a better place by connecting people to Your Son as their forgiver and leader in life, in challenging them to become more like Him in their character and conduct. We ask this in faith. Amen.
In Psalm 2, God said, "Ask of me,
and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance. Now, I don't expect you all of a sudden to get that big faith that it takes to believe for the nations. But how about we start with our county? Start with our families. Start with our neighborhoods. And you know what? Him giving us the nations doesn't mean he's just going to plop it all in our laps. We realize that we have to go. Just like if Abraham would have never left, he would have never gotten that promise of the promised land. If the children of Israel wouldn't have left and gone back to Israel, they never would have received that inheritance. We've got to go. The song we're going to sing, I want it to be our prayer today.
You said, ask and you will receive whatever you need. You said, pray and I'll hear from heaven, and I'll heal your land. Your glory will fill the earth, water the sea. You said, lift up your eyes, the harvest is here, the kingdom is here. You said, I stand, I'll give accounting to you, oh Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Our neighbors and our your light has arisen for us.
That's our cry, Lord. Sing that verse again.
You say, ask and you will receive whatever you need. You say, but pray and I'll hear. And I'll heal your land. You said, your glory will fill the earth like water the sea. You said, lift up your eyes, the harvest is the kingdom is here. You said, I said, I give accounting to you, oh Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Our neighbors and our families will see your light as it rises on us. You said, I said, I'll give accounting to you, oh Lord. That's the cry.
Ask for our neighborhood.
Oh Lord, I ask for my neighborhood.
Our county.
Oh Lord, I ask for this county.
Thanks.